Okay, where's a good spot to go? I don't know. Maybe here, so you guys can see that. Well, praise the Lord. Some good songs, good reminders of God's faithfulness, His goodness to us. Lord, we thank You that we can meet without persecution, that we have Your word in hand, that we can read the truth. Thank You for each person You brought this morning. We pray You'd have Your way with each of us. Thank You for Your faithfulness to each of us, Lord, for Your goodness to us. May Jesus receive all the glory. We pray in His name. Amen. That light, yeah. There we go. Put on my specs again. This is King Solomon. Over 2,950 years ago, in 931 BC, Solomon wrote this. That's crazy, isn't it? I think it's that long ago. Nearly 3,000 years ago. And he says in Ecclesiastes 3, 1-4, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. These verses that God is speaking through Solomon, saying there's a time for everything, and there's time for endings, and there's a time for new beginnings. And each must happen in the course of life. In a few days, we'll be celebrating once again the passing of an old year and the coming of a new one. God Himself has set the seasons on the earth, and they must come and go. And as it says there in Genesis 8:22, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Time keeps on ticking, and the world keeps on spinning. There we go. So, as 2025 comes to an end, hopefully we'll all take some time to reflect on the past year. And like it or not, we're all getting older. And many of us are in our golden years. Some of you aren't there, not even close. But I know for myself, I've been thinking more and more about my own mortality. And so we ask ourselves questions like, how will I be remembered? Or more importantly, how can we better and more effectively serve the Lord in the coming year? How can I improve my intimacy with the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit? Paul says this in Ephesians 5:16, make the most of the time, because the days are evil. In Romans 14:12, Paul says, so then each of us must give an account of himself to God. You know, our time is limited on this earth, and we need to be doing and being about the business of serving God and what He's called us to do. And if we're serious about pleasing God and fulfilling His call in our lives, then we'll take time to reflect on the past year. I think it's important that we do that. So this morning we're going to dedicate some time, short portion of time, to looking back over 2025. I would encourage you to take more time alone with the Lord and do this on your own with Him at home. So these are questions to consider. I'm going to go through the questions, and at the end, if anybody would like to respond, we'll give you time to do that. So these aren't just rhetorical things, but if you want to respond this morning, we'll ask you to do that. So, reflections. Number one, what were a few of my standout or memorable moments and experiences from this past year. Number two, what was the greatest challenge I faced? And what did I learn from it? Three, where have I grown spiritually in the past year? What have I learned about myself? What things needed to be changed, removed, or added in my life to better reflect Christ? What are some of my answered prayers from this year? And lastly, how has God surprised me in this last year? Now, there's a lot of questions, but maybe one of those jumped out that you'd like to respond to. Anybody? And this is the time to share. We can take as much time as we need. I know it's just kind of thrown it on you, but I'm sure something jumped out to you somewhere along the lines. I would say number three for myself. Last January, I spent 3 days on the river at Tim Deering's cabin, just me and the Lord, kind of a personal retreat. I've never done that before, and very meaningful. I can't say I heard God's voice, and yet I did. I met with him. I hiked with him. I spent all that time with him and in his word, and it changed me. I felt I was much closer to the Lord since that time. And so somebody else would like to share, give you some time. Any of these questions at all?
I'd say number four.
Okay.
Remove bitterness, pain, resentment, and change to forgiveness.
That's awesome. It's hard to do. But he wants us to forgive for our sakes. Somebody else like to share any of these answers to any of these questions?
One of my prayers has been that Denise would be able to be with us at Christmas. We'll see, but she says she's going to be there today.
Good. Well, Lord, do that. To be a blessing to Colleen and the whole family. We serve a God who does answer our prayers and hears our prayers and is concerned about the things we are concerned about. It's just who he is. Anybody else want to share any of these? I know it's a lot to think about, to just dump on you. These are the kind of things we need to do, though, at the end of a year and as we go into the next year.
I guess one of the things, I'm not sure which one it is, but with our grandson just having an accident the other night, and stepping away, walking away from his vehicle, prayer.
Sure. You pray for, I pray protection over my family every day. Every day.
I have to say number two. People probably think right away, well, it's for me.
Yeah. Okay, I think we'll move on. Hopefully that got you thinking about some things. So, let's look ahead. 2026, does that sound funny? I think it does to me. I mean, I'm not used to 2025 yet, really. It's weird. So, is there one word or Bible verse that might capture how you sense God is impressing upon you to live in the next year as we think ahead? This is another question that's not easy to answer necessarily right off the bat. I know for myself, I had time to think about this because I was doing it, but I had to think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's a beautiful promise there. Let me go to the next one here. I only have three of these. I'm not going to go a lot of questions. What do you want to see God do in your life in the coming year? What's one thing you think he would want to happen with your life? Okay.
Listen.
Boy, we could all do better at that. I know we could. And this is the last one. What areas of my life do I want him to transform, reshape, or change in the new year? Again, these are hard questions. You can't just answer them rapid fire or anything, but things to consider. Psalms 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. And then the New Living Translation says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. So, this goes with Nicole's teaching for next week, apparently. We're on the same vein there. We all at times need a fresh start and a new beginning. And you know, with the new year, everybody thinks about fresh starts with the new year, but with Jesus, we can have a fresh start any day of the year. We can even have a fresh start now. We don't need to wait to January 1st. We can do it right now. And these three verses go with that. Therefore, you were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. And the verse Nicole referred to, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All old things have passed away and all things have become new. And finally, from Lamentations of all places, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So, as we look with hope to 2026, a lot of people think about new goals, new priorities, a new start. And we start with good intentions, but oftentimes it doesn't work out. But both various things people think about, from losing weight to walking closer with the Lord, making space for things that the Lord has for us. No matter what it is that you sense God asking you to do, different for 2026, just know we have supernatural help. We are not on our own. We have a helper with a capital H, and he's the Holy Spirit. And if God is asking you to do it, he will help you to do it, enable you to do it. So with the Holy Spirit's help, we can rededicate, recommit ourselves to drawing nearer to Christ, to have greater intimacy with him and the Father, and partnering with the Holy Spirit for God's purposes. And so, with this in mind, we also need to rededicate ourselves to the body of Christ. And here at New Beginnings, rededicate ourselves. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, that means some were doing it, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. What's the day? Right, when he's coming back. So as that time draws near, we should encourage one another, hey, let's keep getting together, worshiping together. This verse is encouraging us to take an active role in the local church for fellowship, mutual encouragement, for instruction, for accountability. Because we're all part of God's family. So it's important that we rededicate, recommit ourselves to New Beginnings. And we do this annually at New Beginnings through the New Beginnings Membership Covenant. This covenant is a formal, intentional commitment to serving God through the family here at New Beginnings, expressing our commitment to one another and to the church elders and to the shared mission of what God's doing through New Beginnings. So God desires us to work together and to do life together while sharing our gifts and resources to be a blessing to one another and the surrounding community. I'm going to read this verse from 1 Corinthians 12. It's a portion of it, 12 to 27, talking about the body of Christ, the church. The church, like a physical body, is made up of many parts. And each part's important and necessary, you know, eyes, ears, all of it. Each part has its role. And the church is the body of Christ, and so each part is needed for it to function properly. So we too, the church here, and the many members each have different giftings. Each gift's needed because I'm missing pieces and so are you. So we need each other to be complete. That's why God wants us to be connected and be a part. And he does that through a covenant. And as Christians, we are a covenant people, meaning we have a sacred relationship with God established through the new covenant in Jesus Christ, which is sealed in his blood from the cross and through his death and his resurrection. In the Bible, a covenant was a binding agreement between two or more parties. Often it was between God and people, humanity, establishing relationship and mutual obligations to one another. And these relationships are not just legal contracts, but they were personal. They were relational agreements. In the Bible, there are five major covenants that God made with people. There's more than that, but we're going to look at five. He made these covenants with Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, before establishing the new covenant through Christ Jesus. So the first of these is Noah's covenant. God promised never to destroy the world again by flood, marked by the sign of the rainbow. Second covenant, Abraham's covenant. God promised Abraham that his descendants will be great in number, greater than the stars in the sky, and become a great nation in exchange for Abraham's faithfulness and obedience. Next is God's covenant with Moses, or the Mosaic covenant. It was a conditional covenant made between God and the nation of Israel. It was also called the Old Covenant. In this covenant, God gave his laws to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. This covenant was based on God's law, including the Ten Commandments. It involved promises of prosperity and protection for obedience. If you weren't obedient, then the prosperity and protection were not there. It was conditional. Then there was David's covenant. Covenant God promised David that one of his descendants would always rule on the throne. Promise ultimately fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And lastly, the new covenant. In this last and final covenant, if fulfilled by Jesus' death and resurrection, it provided for us forgiveness and a new relationship with God. Of all these covenants, there are two major covenants. The word covenant is just another word for the word testament. Covenant and testament are the same. So we talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're talking about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Same thing. The Old Covenant, or Old Testament, was provisional. Means it was intended to only be temporary. It was a temporary remedy for sin through the sacrifices and the priests, ultimately pointing to the new covenant in Christ. In it, God pledged prosperity and protection if the people complied with the law. Well, we all broke the law. It included the sacrificial system to address sin, that means killing of animals, sacrifices that the priest performed. And the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies one time a year on the Day of Atonement. Again, this was the Old Covenant. It was designed to only be temporary and was later replaced by the New Covenant. Paul in Galatians 3:24 says, "Wherefore the law," or the Old Testament, Old Covenant, "was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ that we might be justified by faith." So what he's saying here is the Old Covenant was like a disciplinarian, basically showed us where we missed it and highlights our sinfulness and our need for a Savior, which, of course, is Jesus. Hebrews 8:6 says, "Jesus is the mediator of a superior covenant to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises." And then in verse 13, it says, "By calling this covenant new, God has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." And Colossians 2:14-15, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." This handwriting of ordinances that this verse refers to is the Old Covenant, which condemned us for our sin. And Jesus fulfilled and nullified the Old Covenant by the cross. So according to the New Testament, the Old Covenant was fulfilled and canceled by Jesus' death on the cross, which nailed to the cross, canceled the legal any charges of indebtedness that we had. And so the New Covenant was established through Jesus' blood. And just as God in the Old Covenant wrote his laws on stones, it says that in the New Covenant, God writes his law on believers' hearts through the Holy Spirit. With the New Covenant, we have this intimate relationship now with God, which extends to all people, all nations, all races who receive Christ. So, all these verses show that God is a covenant God. And that's why we have a covenant of new beginnings. Yet many Christians today remain wishy-washy with their commitment to a local church. I don't know. It's easy to see. People just kind of come and go as they want. This is not pleasing to the Lord. He wants us to be committed. He wants us to be committed. And so what exactly are we committing to when we decide to commit to the New Beginnings membership covenant? Well, I'm going to explain it briefly here. It's five parts to it. The first part, and I'll just say that we do this annually, this commitment and recommitment. And number one is that each person reaffirms and declares their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, declaring that we desire to worship, know, and obey Jesus through the Scriptures, as His Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Number two, we confirm that we also believe God has called us to worship here and be a part of New Beginnings, a co-laborer with the brothers and sisters here at New Beginnings. We also are in agreement with the New Beginnings vision and mission statements and core values. These documents are available on our website for anybody to go and look at any time. If you want, we can print one out too if you need one to look at those. But number three, covenant member of New Beginnings will seek to build relationships, encouraging one another. I think that's one of our strengths here in this place. Also bearing the burdens of one another's. And one of the things we encourage is for people to be part of a life group. And we seek to encourage each other to live holy lives. And then when we see brothers and sisters maybe not doing things as they should, maybe there's sin, go and talk to them about it, holding each other accountable. Also, seeking peace and unity within the body here at New Beginnings. And then number four, we declare that our ministry, that we're going to support the ministry of the church here through regular attendance, through prayer and commitment to biblical teachings. Also agreeing to give of our finances by tithing and sharing both our spiritual and natural gifts within the body. Lastly, in number four, we say that we will honor those in leadership, submitting to the authority, and will commit to sharing Jesus' love with those outside the body of Christ, so the lost world. Those four things are what we're asking you to commit to. Number five simply acknowledges that the first four we can't do on our own. we're in need of help and of a helper. And the scriptures that we refer to is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Any ability we have to do the first four on this is due because of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and through us. So if and when you are in agreement with this covenant, you'll sign it. There's a place to sign it and a place to put on the date. And then also sign it down here, actually print your name, then sign it and put the date. This bottom portion you'll cut off and give to Scott. The top part you will keep so you have a record of what you're committed to, if you want to refer to it. Again, this covenant is renewed annually. It's a yearly commitment. So if you know you're going to be a part of New Beginnings again in the current year, we would ask that you would take one of these covenants forms back on the table with you today and bring it back next week. If you're new to this and need time to consider this and pray about it, take your time. Ask the Lord and seek Him what He would have you do. We'll receive your commitment anytime. It doesn't need to be next Sunday. But if you have further questions about this, see Scott, myself, or Barry, or other members here, and we'd be happy to talk to you about it. Sit down and discuss it if you have questions about it. If you choose not to make a commitment at this time, that's okay, too. We're not going to treat you any differently. We'll continue to love and support you as we always do. But this is one way to commit to the work that God is doing in and through this place. Does anyone have any questions about the membership covenant? This is something we've done from the very beginning of New Beginnings. Many churches have a membership where you join and you're a member for life. And some people, their names are on the roll, but they never show up. We didn't want that at New Beginnings. So we decided we're going to have an annual commitment to this. So it's not like you sign up once and you're good for who knows, the rest of your life. But to get people to consider again what it means to be part of a church and how we need each other and function together. And so these are some of the things we came up with. Any questions at all about that? Again, if you do, whether you be newer or if you've been a long time here and want to talk about certain parts of this, we'd be happy to sit down and do that with you. But again, if you know that you'd like to commit to this, we would ask you to take one of those forms, sign it, and bring it back next week and so it doesn't drag out. But if you do need more time, please take it. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your church. It's made up of your people. And so it's imperfect, Lord. This church thing we do imperfectly. There's not a perfect church out there. But you love your church. You gave yourself for her. And you're the head of the church, and we are your body. And although it's imperfect at best with imperfect leaders, you still love her and have purposes and desire people to be connected to a church. And you desire your churches to work together for your glory. I thank you for Netzer, who works at that, Lord, working, bringing churches together in unity. Lord, help us to do that here in Mannheim at New Beginnings, to work together with other churches, to see your kingdom come and your will be done in Mannheim as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you for each person that you have brought here to New Beginnings and for the diversity within New Beginnings in gifts. I thank you that we do need each other, Lord. Even on the elders team, there's three of us and we're so different. No one's better than the other, but we're just different. You wired us different, you've given us different gifts, and we need each other, and it's the same way in the larger church, Lord. We need each other. We pray you would bring new people to join us, holes that might be in the body that we need to function as you desire. For those that are here now, I pray, Lord, that we would know what our gifts are and be willing to use them to be a blessing to others within the body. So I thank you. I thank you for Scott in particular this morning, Lord, for his leadership as lead elder, and for Barry and myself, and for the team we make. Give us wisdom as we lead and guide this church, your church, where you want her to go, Lord God, and for each person that will commit to being a part of it again. So I pray, Lord, as the year comes to an end and a new one starts, if there's things you want to do differently in us, help us to acknowledge that. Cooperate with what you want to do, Spirit Lord, so we will be more like Jesus in 2026 than we are now. So thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your goodness to us. We pray this all in Jesus' name.